بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, on the subject of adab being the foundation and the most important ingredient for learning to happen, especially Islamic learning. The point I want to make for you is that, and yesterday I mentioned, you know, that water flows downhill. So therefore the importance of humility. Now, part of the sign of humility is to feel that you are the one who is most in need. That is a fact, that may be a fact, but do I feel that? So when I go to a class, when I go to a halaqa, when I go to a lecture, when I go to listen to a khutbah, when I read a book, whatever it is, do I go there as a supplicant? Do I go there as somebody who is desperately in need? Or do I go there as in some other way? My attitude when I am approaching the source of learning. Now, my sheikh used to say, he used to say, respect the scholars, because it is not the need of the scholar to teach you. It is your need to learn. Because the scholar can teach anybody, right? The scholar need not even teach anybody. The scholar can just write a book or something. And so his knowledge is disseminated. He doesn't have to sit in front of people. He doesn't have to deal with people. He doesn't have to deal with, in today's age, the increasing bad manners of people. He doesn't have to put himself to all of this, time and trouble. It is not his need to teach. What he knows, he has a need to disseminate that. And there are many ways of doing that. There are many ways of doing that. Today, you can just record videos, you can record lectures, you can write books, articles. Everything gets disseminated. Everything goes all over the world without you having met another human being. And if you want to do that, and a lot of scholars, they do not like to be, and this is almost like a measure of a true scholar, that they run away from publicity, they run away from crowds, they run away from being known. This is almost a hallmark or a criterion to see whether somebody is really a scholar of Islam or not. I'm not saying this is always one must apply this, but this is one of the criteria if you look at it. So when you go, it is your need. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But do you go like that? So my sheikh used to say, there are three kinds of people who go to halakas, who go to lectures and so on. He said, one is those who go to judge the teacher. So that is their clear or hidden, or sometimes that is their even almost unconscious reason for going. So they are going there to see how good is this teacher. And if you ask them, well, you know, before you go in there, you are here to judge how good is the teacher. What are your criteria of judging goodness? How will you decide if this teacher is good or bad? Right? If I'm going to go, I'm sorry to give this this example, but since I know something about horses and dogs, if I'm going to a dog show and I'm judging a dog show, then I say, we use the term true to standard. So there's a standard of a German Shepherd, there's a standard of a Rottweiler. And when I'm judging a Rottweiler that's been brought to that show, then I will compare it to the standard and say, well, how close to the standard? If this dog is exactly as per the Rottweiler standard, then I will give this dog best in show price. price. If I'm going to a horse show, the same thing with that, right? If I'm judging a thoroughbred, I will not judge a thoroughbred on the Arabian standard, and I will not judge an Arabian on an Irish hunter standard, right? I mean, each breed has a standard. So if you are going to, so these people who are going into a lecture with the intention, as I said, conscious or unconscious, of judging the sheikh, judging the teacher, if you ask them, what is the standard, what's in your mind, believe me, they have no standard. They just go in there. Because if you go by the comments that you hear later on, for example, how many times have you heard this comment, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sisters, they are, I don't know, Allahu a'lam, I mean, I don't want to say anything more. How many times have you heard this comment by the sisters referring to a young or not so young alim, saying, my God, he's so cute. Astaghfirullah al-azim, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Do you think ogling at the opposite gender is a sin only for men? I mean, if a man goes and looks at a woman and says, wow, man, that's something, and this is bad, and if you say, oh, he's so cute, that is okay? I mean, how come this person is not mahram to you? And how come you are going there and looking at him and saying he's so cute, and you think this is cute? Allah la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Have some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to a religious function. This is also, I mean, I'm not putting the blame entirely on the shoulders of the sisters. Obviously the sheikh concerned must exercise even more caution, especially because since you have religious knowledge, you should know better. But you know, human beings are human beings, and shaitan is there. And this kind of behavior results in all kinds of scandals and all kinds of bad things. So people go to judge, and they judge on completely shallow, worthless grounds. Oh, you know what? I don't like his accent. You know, he's barking instead of parking. So you're making fun of the Arab accent. Or his accent is very desi. Whatever he's saying, I am not able to understand, sir. Now the point is that why you went. You went there to judge somebody's accent or to judge somebody's face to see if they are cute or not. So this is one set of people, right? And if ask yourself this question, if that is top of the mind, turn around, go back home, do yourself a favor, do everybody else a favor. You are not doing yourself any good by going to that class, because you are not going to learn anything worthwhile in that class. This is part of adab, your approach to learning. Second set of people, my sheikh used to say, are people who go there for izafa-e malumat, to increase the bits and pieces of information we have. So this is like I don't want to do a systematic study of a subject, but I will go and I will listen. I pick up, I hear one hadith from somewhere, I hear some story from somewhere, I hear some particular reference in a particular tafsir or meaning or explanation of the ayat of the Quran from somewhere, and I then use it to impress others who are even more ignorant than I am. So this is the second set, izafe malumat, just like that. And he used to say the third set are the people, if you are not there, then become that, who go there for their own personal benefit, meaning for their own personal correction. They are not going there to judge anybody. They are not going there to simply pick up bits and pieces of information. They are going there to do some good to themselves. So they are sitting there in a with an attitude of humility, humbleness, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, oh Allah, please put in the heart of this speaker that which is beneficial for me to hear. Please make the speaker say that which you want me and which you know I need to hear. And then you listen to that with a attitude of acceptance and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he chose you to listen to that. And you make dua for the speaker and say, oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, give him the ability to transmit this knowledge better, and give him the ability to follow and practice what he's preaching. So this is very important. This is the third kind of people. So in terms of adab, I say to you that whenever you sit before a teacher whenever you listen to or watch a video, read a book, go to a Jum'ah lecture, class, halaqa, whatever, go with a attitude of humbleness, go with an attitude of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He chose you to be there instead of somewhere else. Go with the understanding that you need what the teacher has to offer. The teacher does not need you. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you and enable you to practice what you preach. Please understand that knowledge which we have, which we do not practice, illa mashallah, we ask Allah for protection from ourselves and protection from His anger. If we know something and we are not practicing it, that thing is a witness against us on the day of judgment. And the solution to that is not to be ignorant, because ignorance is not a defense in law. Right? To know and to practice, there is no alternative. We must find out and we must practice what we learn. So we can't say, well, you know, because I have to or I must practice what I learn and I don't want to practice, so let me not learn. That is not an option. At the same time, you can't say that if I know something, I'm just gathering information and, you know, really I can't practice all that. No, both are not alternatives. To learn is fard and to practice it is also fard. And therefore, let us go with that understanding. And even if you take a decision to say that I know so much, I'm not going to learn anything new until I practice what I already know, I think that's a very good decision. I think that's an excellent decision. Just becoming a professional course attender, you know, I call them professional course attenders, going from course to course to course to course to course. You ask them, why are you doing that? What did you gain from this thing? What did you learn? All they do is, and because nowadays all these courses are presented as like we do corporate training, so they all come with binders and stuff. So all you do is collect a whole bunch of binders, never to be touched, sitting on your shelf, gathering dust. This is not the right attitude for learning. An attitude of humility, an attitude of one who is in need, and going there with making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua for the teacher. We ask Allah to make us, to give us the right attitudes, because attitudes decides behavior and behavior drives results. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.